Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the odds of an Indian-Pakistani rapprochement. Longtime rivals, India and Pakistan, seem poised to experiment with another rapprochement after their leaders sent positive messages to one another welcoming this possibility. Pakistan's new Prime Minister, Imran Khan, received a letter from his Indian counterpart, Narendra Modi, a few days ago, suggesting the need for constructive engagement with one another, which follows Prime Minister Khan's victory speech last month, in which he also spoke about the importance of this happening. Occurring in between both leaders' messages was the Minister of Local Government, Tourism, Cultural Affairs, and Museums of India's state of Punjab, Navjot Singh Sidhu, attending his friend and former fellow cricketer Prime Minister Khan's recent inauguration and hugging the Pakistani Chief of Army Staff, Qamar Javed Bajwa. Although this generated intense controversy within Indian society, it was popularly interpreted by the Pakistanis as a sincere gesture of goodwill and an auspicious sign of a possible willingness on the Indian side to enter into a rapprochement with their country. Interestingly, both sides are also unprecedentedly participating in multilateral anti-terrorist drills in Russia right now as part of the SCO's peace mission. But this is a rare example of indirect cooperation at a time when tensions between the two have been running very high over the past few years. India accuses Pakistan of assisting Kashmiri militants, while Islamabad has said the same about New Delhi when it comes to Balochistan, although both sides deny their rivals' claims and also assert that the situations are incomparable. India's strict position towards this issue has seen the SARC, Regional Integration Bloc, rendered dysfunctional in recent years, and it also strongly objects to the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor transiting through northern Pakistani territory that it claims as its own. Pakistan, for its part, is very concerned that India is imperiling the strategic balance between these two nuclear-armed states by pursuing state-of-the-art anti-air and missile systems that threaten Islamabad's nuclear second-strike capabilities. Even so, at least judging by appearances, it looks like both sides are somewhat interested in reaching an understanding with one another to stabilize the South Asia region, which would, of course, be in every responsible player's best interest. Relieving pressure along the border would allow each country to focus more on domestic economic development at a time when their region is one of the fastest growing and most promising in the world. It would also set into motion further moves that might strengthen the sometimes fraught relationship between India and China, which would naturally be beneficial for multipolarity and its attendant institutions of BRICS and the SCO. That being said, the problems between India and Pakistan are very deep-rooted and will be extremely difficult to overcome. Okay, folks, I gotta say, this time we have some pretty good news on Trendstorm, which isn't that often, and we're going to be discussing the prospects for a rapprochement between India and Pakistan. So our first guest today is going to be Miss Unisa Kadar. She's a supporter of subcontinental reunification.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Unisa, how do you expect the Indian government to react to Islamabad's recent proposal for talks?
India's reaction is positive, this time all the more, though we have been a real positive nation throughout the history and geography has witnessed. This time too, it's so-called Naya Pakistan. The new Pakistan we welcome, and our representative, our mandate is Mr. Narendra Modi, a changed person. From his past person to today's Modi is totally different and real, renovated, progressive and developing hand we extend towards Pakistan with a huge hope for future.
Okay, Unisa, well, I'd like to ask you, what do you think actually inspired this recent outreach between the two leaders? Do you believe that it's more because of domestic politics within India and Pakistan, or possibly the changing geopolitics of the region as a whole, which of course include the U.S. and CPEC factors?
Geographically, boundaries keep changing, and we don't mean annexing or hegemony, governing one sovereign nation or governance of one sovereign nation over another. It's impossible, but politically, we can be like European Union, whereas subcontinental nations are concerned. On the lines of European Union, or yes, why not? And recent example is Korea reunifying. Let's wait and watch how Korea develops. One government and two Koreas under one government, or maintaining the individual sovereignty, rotational president like European Union. That is also a possibility. Plus domestic changes. People are changing. The social media is bringing people together. Why not India and Pakistan? And America is excluded from BRICS. Russia is there. Mexico is there in SCO. And America is excluded for obvious reasons. What do you say about this?
Okay, well, I think that's a pretty interesting proposal. And, you know, you mentioned a possible EU model, or also looking at the lessons that can be learned from what's currently unfolding in the Korean Peninsula. And this makes me want to ask you, Unisa, about SARC. I mean, this is a regional integrational platform that, you know, it's already established, even though it's pretty much been frozen for the past couple of years. Do you think that SARC could enter back into operation and actually provide a vehicle for this rapprochement between India and Pakistan, according to the vision that you described?
Yes, SARC has been established for almost 34 to 35 years now. It had to work. It could have worked. Really, it has nothing stopping it. But for obvious reasons, again, it's become just a Kashmir is made a bone of contention, whereas Kashmir is nothing compared to the entire South Asian region, or concentration point is subcontinent. But on the pretext of Kashmir, things are not progressing. Members are being added. Latest member is Afghanistan. It's been added. But what about the peace, the resolutions, the solutions of Kashmir? So many issues. You being an analyst, yes, you can bifurcate this question and ask further points on this.
Well, I'd like to ask you about what you think the first step that both sides will have to take in order to get the ball really rolling on this possible rapprochement, because, you know, we had the exchange of cordial greetings, I guess we can put it that way, between Prime Minister Han and Prime Minister Modi. Now Pakistan's proposing talks, but what would have to happen to really lead to some tangible change here? I mean, whether in the economic or integrational aspect, what do you foresee happening in a positive way?
Yes. It's the SARC is the idea whose time has come now. It was seasoning period, kind of teething. Now I foresee some positive developments, considering the Imran Khan's would-be regime or probable for future regime. He has been a successful captain. He managed his team at the world level. He achieved. That's a reflection of his persona and futuristic hopes. I hope he shows signs. He's showing signs, and I hope he does the needed, the needful, that is continuation of SARC, the strong bond called SARC, which is in the pipeline. It's progressing just once a year. Sometimes that's also called off. Now with Imran Khan, and again, I'm repeating, changed Modi, renowned Modi, or a developed Mr. Modi, things shall happen, and it shall happen for entire regions. Safety, security, peace, and well-being.
Unisa, this was an intriguing conversation about the positive direction that Indian-Pakistani ties could develop, especially the possibility of reviving SARC. So thank you again for coming on to Trendstorm. It was a pleasure to host you today. Now we're going to speak to Mr. Zamir Awan. He's a geopolitical analyst who focuses on the region and places a special emphasis on China, which has made him a popular writer in Chinese mainstream media.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Zamira, how successful do you think that Prime Minister Han's proposal for talks with India, which he made in response to his counterpart's upbeat letter, will be?
Well, Mr. Han, after getting won in the election, the first speech he mentioned in his first speech, that if India will move one step, we will move two steps forward. He is willing to normalize the relation with India. He believes in dialogue. He believes in the peace, he believes in the cooperation, he believes in the neighborhood diplomacy.
Okay, so how successful do you think his proposal for talks with India will be, though? I mean, it seems like now that he offered their proposal, the ball is in Prime Minister Modi's court. So do you think he will be very receptive to this reciprocal outreach?
Yes, he also sent a tweet message to Prime Minister Modi that we can start a dialogue or negotiation, or we take some measures towards this peaceful peace in this direction by engaging each other in the trade. And he has proposed we can have some trade agreements. And you know, this is the era of the trade wars. The world is divided in the globalization, liberalization of trade, and among the conservative and the protectionism. And this is the era when we need to focus more on the regional trade, especially with the neighbors. And I think in this scenario, trade between neighboring countries will get more importance, will be more helpful. And India being the first door neighbor, we would like to have good trade with them, and it will benefit both countries. The people of both countries will be beneficiary.
Yeah, they certainly will be if this happens. So I'd like to ask you, Zamir, what you attribute this recent thaw in relations to. Do you think it's more to domestic politics within each country, the changing geopolitics of the region as the whole, obviously including the U.S. and CPEC factors, or maybe some kind of blend of both of them?
In fact, there are some disputes. There are different points of view. There are disputes existing between the two countries. But I think there is something we have to take start. As a start, we sign some trade agreement, and then we will develop this cooperation or understanding in other areas. Yeah, which are the disputed factors, we can set aside for a while. We can make some measures of confidence on each other.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, then what you're saying is that some of the more contentious aspects of the relationship between Pakistan and India could be left aside for now, while both leaders, Prime Minister Han and Prime Minister Modi, focus more on economic engagement with one another and developing win-win partnerships that can actually affect their entire populations then, right?
Yes. Poverty is the biggest issue for both countries. In Pakistan, facing the poverty in India, even they are worse in this respect. And we, people of two countries, deserve to improve our standard of life. If we reduce the tension between two countries, we reduce the cost of expenditure on the defense, we can do a lot for the people of both countries.
Okay, if both sides continue to move forward with this rapprochement and they do decide to focus on the economic issues like you suggested, what kind of developments do you foresee happening? I mean, are there any specific agreements that you can see being reached, any agreements that can be revived, any regional cooperation initiatives that can be focused on? I mean, do you have any concrete ideas in mind for what both parties can do to get the ball rolling and really deliver some tangible results to their populations in the framework of this rapprochement?
Yes, you are right. In fact, both countries have historical enmity, and that differences between two countries have a history of 70 years, and some of them are very, very severe, and the intensity of the differences are really very, very huge. We need confidence building. And we have already few platforms like the FARC. And recently, both countries have joined SCO, Shanghai Cooperation Organization, based in China and Central Asia and Russia. Both two countries are going to work under the charter of SCO, which is also maybe helpful in developing, promoting the relation between two neighboring states. And by the end of next month, I think, I don't know the exact date, but we are going to have a joint military exercise, anti-terrorism exercise with India, that will also create a lot of goodwill. We are working on the diplomatic front, we are working on the political front, and we wanted to strengthen the trade.
Zamir, this was an uplifting interview about the prospects for an Indian-Pakistani rapprochement and how trade could lead the way by giving each of them a common, self-interested ground for going even further. So thanks again for sharing your insight with us. It was very valuable. Now, folks, if we think back on what both Wanisa and Zamir shared with us today, we can see that actually, believe it or not, it looks like there is a distinct possibility that India and Pakistan will sit down with one another, talk about some of their issues while leaving others aside, of course, and focus on deepening their economic cooperation with one another. This would, of course, be beneficial for the over 1 billion people living in South Asia. And it could do a lot to stabilize one of the main battlefronts in the new Cold War. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.